Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the April 22nd meeting of the City Council. Would you please call the roll?
Fish.
Here.
Saltzman.
Here.
Novick.
Here.
Fritz.
Here.
Hales.
Here. Good morning, everyone. We have some communications items up front and then actually a couple of time certain items and the rest of our agenda. I have one request to pull something off the consent calendar and put it onto the regular calendar, and that's 399. Anything else? Okay. With that, then, let's take the communications items, please.
Item 390, request of Kristen Pilgrim to address council regarding impact of development plan for Southeast 50th and Division. And I understand she cannot make it today.
Okay. I think there's several people signed up on the same topic, so could take three at once if that works for you, three or four at once if you got four chairs.
And that's item 391 through 394, request of Perry Ann Souser, Kate Hauser, Michael Van Cleek, and Brian Houle to address council regarding proposals and permits for development on Southeast 50th and Division.
Morning.
Good morning.
There's a button on the base of that microphone. The rest of them don't require.
Good morning, Council. My name is Perry Salzer. I'm first on the list, but we'd like to request a change in order.
That's fine.
Kate Hauser would like to speak first.
Each of you gets 3 minutes, so however you want to divide it up.
Great. Thank you, sir.
Okay, good morning. The other speakers and I are here today on behalf of Livable West Tabor Neighborhoods, a coalition of residents being impacted by four multifamily developments planned along Southeast 50th between Mill and Division. These proposed developments will add more than 250 new units with extremely limited parking along a 0.3-mile stretch of road within 1 year. A particular concern is a 45-foot-tall, 83-unit building being planned on a commercial zone lot at 1916 Southeast 50th. This lot is a zoning anomaly, part of a very small section of CG lots alongside R1-zone single-family homes on 50th and abutting R5-zoned homes on 51st and beyond. Developers are exploiting this zoning anomaly on our street in order to build according to the denser and taller commercial code while taking advantage of the quality of life and community that the surrounding residential area provides. The pace and volume of these changes have generated a lot of concern in our neighborhood. I live across the street from the building I mentioned, and this proposed development is so out of scale with the neighborhood, it will result in a drastic loss of solar access, privacy views, and potentially property values, not just for people like me who live close to it, but also for people several blocks away. It is just that big. Even residents beyond that, as well as visitors and commuters, will be negatively affected by the increased traffic, parking, and noise, not to mention the safety concerns due to small neighborhood streets being used as major thoroughfares. Over the last 4 months, our group has brought these concerns to the developers, members of BPS and BDS, and other elected officials who have either ignored us, directed us to other departments, or given us token meetings for which they were unprepared and in which they either said their hands were tied or touted the comp plan as the answer to all of our problems. But, of course, these developments are going to impact our neighborhood before that plan goes into effect. Today, we see no indication of coordinated oversight or management of the combined impact these four developments will have on our neighborhood, which brings us here today. We recognize that other neighborhoods are also experiencing rapid development, and it is directly affecting Portland citizens like me. We hope our testimony today will encourage you to examine, reduce, and slow the scale and rate of these types of developments until these issues can be fully considered with input from all stakeholders. Thank you.
Morning.
Thank you, Council. My name is Brian Houle. My partner and I live in the Richmond neighborhood at 1931 Southeast 50th. A four-story, 45-foot-tall, 83-unit apartment complex is being proposed for the construction at 1916 Southeast 50th Avenue, which is directly across from our home. If the proposal is allowed to be built, there will be permanent negative impacts to the quality of life for many property owners surrounding this development. 50th Avenue is characterized by features which make it different from other areas where commercial development has been approved. These features must be taken into account in the permitting process for commercial development. This corridor is primarily zoned R1, contains a very small commercial spot zone of four properties, and it's surrounded entirely by R5 neighborhoods. 50th Avenue has a 35-mile-per-hour speed limit and the city's transportation plan identifies 50th Avenue as a transit priority street linking east side neighborhoods with downtown. The current rate of development along this street will consume all remaining parking spaces as residents, guests, and family members of these new apartments attempt to parallel park on 50th Avenue. Traffic flow already backs up during rush hour commutes and will quickly resemble the gridlock that is now routine on Upper Hawthorne. Motorists looking for a parking space will be faced with five dead-end streets between Lincoln and Hawthorne that prevent them from gaining access to 51st Avenue, thereby creating an endless flow of frustrated motorists. If motorists attempt to turn to the west, they will find themselves on 49th Avenue, which is only 19 feet wide. This narrow and intimate street currently provides one row of parked vehicles for homeowners and room for only one vehicle to make passage. Motorists will attempt to flow around this gridlock by using Harrison and Lincoln. However, Harrison Street only allows for one vehicle to pass at a time, and Lincoln Street is a major commuter street for bicyclists. Does any of this sound safe to you, especially in a region that has a high number of families with children? The concerns of our group would be alleviated by reducing the scale of this proposal to 40 units and 30 feet in height. In addition, I, along with many other homeowners, are about to lose our scenic view of Mount Tabor, which is a defining neighborhood landmark. 14 weeks ago, I started a dialogue with David Mullins, who is a project manager for this project, inviting him to my property to see the view that will be destroyed by this building. He agreed to pay me a visit, but I still haven't heard from him. With all the public input we provided on this project, we just learned that they have chosen to reduce the size of this project from 84 units to 83 units. The city, along with neighborhood residents and developers, have an opportunity to work together now to voluntarily adopt standards known to promote sustainability and livability. As voting and tax-paying citizens of Portland, we strongly advocate proactive leadership as opposed to an attitude or language suggesting nothing else can be done. Thank you.
Thank you. Clerk, does council have the photos that I gave to you?
We have.
Council, you should each have a photo right here of a development taking place at 50th and Lincoln. Thank you very much. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. My name is Michael Van Cleek. I don't believe I'm any stranger to any of you. I do recognize that I am speaking to the first council in Portland history that is not being held accountable by a daily newspaper. Council, I am here out of love of this city. I am here out of love for Southeast 50th between Hawthorne and Division, which I believe is a sacred street at the base of Mount Tabor, at the base of one of the treasures of the city, and it is a street that is endangered by decisions that are being made by you and your staff, by the Bureau of Development Services, by planning, by you, the mayor, by the way you've allocated our bureaus. You are attacking our streets, you're attacking the base of Mount Tabor, and a child is going to end up dead because you have approved this development that is going to put a driveway servicing 18 garages within 30 feet of the 50th and Lincoln intersection, an intersection where bikers are already being killed, where ambulances are reporting to every day. Each of you, either through ignorance or through outright approval, has approved this. You have vetted this driveway 30 feet from this intersection. A driver is going to come out making a left onto Lincoln while a kid comes down the hill and is going to get hit. So make sure you add budget for a white bike to put on the corner in addition to whatever else you're adding to the Bureau for this. Council, I'm asking you to immediately enact a moratorium on all construction on Southeast 50th between Hawthorne and Division. This is allowed by the state land use because the decisions that have been made there right now are endangering the community and are going to endanger children. You can vote on that moratorium today and halt all construction on Southeast 50th today. Portland is selling the dream of livability, a faded mirage of the 90s when Portland was the world's best planned city. That's why I moved here. At Stanford, we learned Portland was the capital of city planning. Then Randy Leonard laid off 75% of the planning department. The plan was allowed to expire, and you all decided to let the developers have a gold rush on our city. You're paying for that dream that you're selling by imposing a nightmare of danger and destruction on the residents of Portland that have made this city the Eden it is today. You have allowed developers to propose to build 300 units on Southeast 50th. This isn't Cesar Chavez. This isn't Grand. This isn't the Pearl District. This is a small residential connector street. It is two lanes wide, and you have allowed 300 units to go in on this street. That's more than live within a six-block radius. This is at the base of Mount Tabor. Mount Tabor is the spiritual heart of East Portland. In 1966, the citizens of Southeast 50th rallied and stopped your predecessors from building a freeway on Southeast 50th. And today I'm here to tell you, we are rallying once again. The dragon at the base of Mount Tabor is rallying. We are going to protect 50th. We ask you today to take action, impose a moratorium immediately on all construction on Southeast 50th, convene a coalition of neighbors, developers, and planners to lay out a plan to make Southeast 50th the treasure of inner Southeast Portland. Not a slum. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen of the Portland City Council, my name is Perry Salzauer. I live at 1904 Southeast 49th in the Richmond neighborhood. I'm an attorney, and I'm part of the thriving tech startup industry in this town. It's obvious to all, Portland is in the midst of an unprecedented urbanization of a character that the city and the state have not seen since before the enactment of the Land Conservation and Development Act in 1973. As we all know, that piece of legislation has served as a benchmark for this nation and the cornerstone of development policy in Oregon since its enactment. The act was intended to strike a balance between the interests and forces of development and urbanization, insofar as those forces represent personal and private economic rights, and the interests of the public in maintaining values that do not so easily lend themselves to quantification or monetization. Unfortunately, that balance and the development process in the city of Portland has been stretched by volume to its breakage. As we all know, the city of Portland is nearing the end of its shelf life for its comprehensive plan. The comprehensive plan lies at the heart, this keeps cutting out, the comprehensive plan lies at the heart of the LCDA's balance of the competing interests and goals that weigh upon land use decisions. The comp plan is in many ways intended to serve as a substitute for the need to perform a cumulative impact assessment in connection with the permitting of every interrelated development decision within the plan's purview. In effect, the plan is the way in which the city must link permitting decisions in the context of the cumulative impacts of development decisions upon the 19 statewide planning goals that now fall within the legacy of the LCDA, including specifically impacts upon the environment, hydrology, sustainability, emergency access, and historical value. The system is established to ensure that the needs of the community are not just heard, but incorporated into the comprehensive plans, and those goals need to be respected during the permitting and planning process, which in large part is why citizen involvement is state planning goal number one. The City of Portland, its commissioners, its managers, and its employees have been working very hard to engage the citizens of Portland as it works to develop the new and forthcoming Portland Comp Plan that will guide the growth of this city for the next 20 years. That plan goes into effect next year, and we have been encouraged to provide our comments to the city with respect to it. However, the unfortunate reality is today, the City of Portland is failing to preserve the values that the LCDA protects on behalf of the beneficiaries of the forthcoming comp plan by allowing an unprecedented land and money grab for developers seeking to sneak their permit applications in based on the outdated assessments embodied in the comp plan, a comp plan that is over 20 years old. Moreover, the citizen engagement process that is part and parcel of the development approval protocols is broken and ineffective. We have made every attempt to engage the available city processes, bring the city and the developers in line with the real impacts of the proposed development on Southeast 50th. Developments planned without a single LEED or other sustainability element, including in its proposal. This is a neighborhood with a wealth of both hard and soft infrastructure. As developers seek to take advantage of archaic nuances and so-called grandfathered allowable land uses, may I have a few more minutes? Grandfathered allowable land uses slip their plans past the public and into action during the final interstitial months between the old comprehensive plan, a plan which embodies community values of the 1980s, and the new comprehensive plan. They are actively diminishing the values that the citizens and the city of Portland seek to protect in the new plan. The grandfathered land uses and parcel joining machinations presently being used by developers are proceeding based on stale 1980s analysis and information that is no longer accurate. The stale information includes information about driving patterns, vehicle ownership, and most importantly, safety and community issues. In essence, they are trying to shift the burdens and impacts of their development upon the cities of Portland based upon the residents of Portland's view of these issues over 20 years ago, before we, the 2015 residents of Portland, collectively and as a city, have had the opportunity to determine how those burdens and impacts should fairly be shared among all stakeholders, including the long-term residents of every Portland neighborhood. Before I end, I want to be clear that I am not here to oppose change or growth or development within the city. It is very important that the city grow to maintain a thriving economy. I'm not here because I oppose affordable housing in our wonderful neighborhood or because I want to maintain exclusivity over it in some form. Rather, I'm here because I categorically, unequivocally oppose development that occurs in a siloed environment without real oversight and in the absence of a process that allows due consideration to be taken of the real cumulative impacts to the community of a series of individually made yet interrelated development decisions. There is no such process at work here in Portland at this moment in time. And as a result, development is proceeding in an undemocratic and unsustainable manner which will harm this city for the entire lifespan of the new comp plan while providing little benefit other than improving the financial position of a few closely held development corporations. Accordingly, I joined my neighbors in urging the City Council to place a citywide moratorium on all new development, three stories or taller, within any neighborhood or area that is predominantly zoned R1 or which has historically been zoned and designated for primarily single-unit residential dwellings until the new comprehensive plan becomes effective in 2016. Thank you for your time, Mayor.
Thank you. I appreciate your presentation. Brought this all to our attention. Hey, folks. So do you know when this zoning was applied to this land?
It's in the last plan, and it was grandfathered in. What happened?
No, I mean, what year was, do you know?
1982 is so when the last
been
plan
zoned,
went into effect.
It's been zoned R1, is that what it is?
There's an isolated commercial parcel in the heart of a residential zoned, basically of a residentially zoned area.
Right.
A church was built on a parcel that was zoned R1, and that was a grandfathered non-conforming use. That's why you see developers buying churches up all over town, because they were grandfathered in with R1, one unit per 1,000 square feet. Developers buying the church, knocking the church down, building 18 three-story tall Beaverton-style townhouses. The other thing is there are isolated commercial parcels. There was a one-story machete factory on 50th, a little flat building. Mm-hmm. David Sackhoff of Beaverton came in, bought that, knocked that machete factory down, and because it's commercially zoned, there is no restriction on what he can build residentially short of the size of the building.
So it was CG, did you say?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. It was grandfathered in for a small machete factory.
And my understanding is that particular parcel, which is the subject of the Sackhoff development, was grandfathered in the 60s?
I believe that's the case.
Yeah, that I know that did happen, where if there was an existing commercial use, the council then, in some cases, gave them the zoning that made them legal for
right.
what they were doing then.
Right.
And that's why Sackhoff has identified all these parcels all over town. You remember the little Quonset hut at 2626 Ankeny? He bought that Quonset hut, leveled it, and put in what is now the tallest building in that area, an 80-unit residential development where there was this little Quonset hut on 2626 Ankeny.
May I add that the development in question, the Sackhoff development, he's also bought the adjacent home, single-family home, and that's currently in a demolition stay that we had enacted. But his plan is to demolish the home also and build the large multifamily dwelling incorporating both of those lots. So it's CG and resident and R1.
Interestingly, your Bureau of Transportation approved his driveway on 50th, where a driveway for any multi-unit development in that area should be, but the same Bureau of Transportation a block away on an 18-unit development approved the driveway across Lincoln, one of the major east-west bike thoroughfares in this town, less than 30 feet from the intersection of 50th and Lincoln. And their reasoning was, oh, we want the entry on auxiliary streets. Well, why did you approve the driveway for Sackhoff's much larger development on 50th? And what's happening, we've sent all of you a number of emails, have hardly gotten any response. We have met with a member of Amanda's staff, and what's happening is every time we meet with somebody, BDS accuses planning of not having the right zoning in place. Planning accuses BDS of signing off on everything. Bureau of Transportation accuses us of being obstructionist and says if it's okay with BDS and planning, then let's do it. Mayor, you have the power to take back those bureaus and set in place a tone of a city that listens to its citizens and residents and preserves the livability of Portland. We all moved here for the neighborhoods. This is a beautiful city. We love it.
Well, sir,
are there any more questions?
Yeah.
I'd like to make a specific response and a general comment. One is that, and I believe PBOT has explained this to people in the neighborhood, the developer could have, and the unit you're talking about, the project you're talking about, the developer could have, as a right, put the driveway in either 50th or Lincoln. PBOT actually preferred putting it on Lincoln because Lincoln is a local street. 50th is a collector street with higher speeds and higher traffic volumes. And we tend to encourage new access points on lower volume, lower speed streets because they're safer to pull in and out of.
And we
understand that it's a bikeway. We've had a conversation about this with the Bicycle Transportation Alliance. And although they have concerns about it, they understand the reasoning. Our standards require the driveway be 25 feet away from a signalized intersection, and this meets that standard. So they might have a conversation about whether it should be 35 feet or something, but right now that is the standard. And no traffic studies are done because there's no mitigation measures PBOT can require because this isn't a land use review. So that's my specific comment. I also have a more general comment, which is that our planet as we know it is dying. Over the coming decades, we can expect that 20 to 50% of the species on Earth will go away, and large parts of the planet, including the United States, will become uninhabitable. And this is actually one of the few places in the country that we can expect will survive. So more and more people are going to flee here as climate refugees. And unfortunately, one of the ways to reduce energy use is for more people to live closer together. Because if you've got a bunch of people living close together, then you'll have a grocery store spring up there that people can walk to. Instead of when people are spread out, then you wind up most people having to drive. So I understand that everybody says, I don't object to development. I agree that we need to have a planning system that avoids sprawl. But everybody objects to the development next door to them. And of course, we need to have a rational process. And every development shouldn't be approved. But if we are to survive, then some people are going to have to lose their views. And some people are going to have to put up with the development next to them that they don't like.
Your standards are going to result in a child being killed 50th and Lincoln. Are you going to pay for that white bike out of your pocket, Steve?
One other suggestion, and that is you said you've had some discussions between your group and the developers involved. There's more than one. The Neighborhood Association's role, is South Tabor involved?
No, the neighbor. So another problem we face is that Southeast 50th is a border zone between the Mount Tabor neighborhood and the Richmond neighborhood. Okay. The Mount Tabor neighborhood would like to be involved, but they are spending all of their volunteer time trying to get lawyers ready to fight Commissioner Fish, who is continuing to go against the will of the voters, trying to shut down the reservoirs on Tabor. Is not represented by a neighborhood association right now.
Right. May I respond please to Commissioner Novick? Commissioner Novick, I have an LLM in environmental and natural resources law, and I'm keenly aware of all the issues that you just raised, which is why I specifically pointed out that these developments are proceeding without any LEED or sustainability certification. To the extent that increasing urbanization is going to be a reality in the next 50 years, I completely agree. And I am not opposed to development in my neighborhood. The reason we're calling for a moratorium is because we need to slow down. We are in the process of creating a new plan where we can all provide our input and guide a sustainable development for the next 20 years. What I'm asking for is for us to put the brakes on some of these less sophisticated, less sustainable developments in residential neighborhoods so that input can be received and we can continue to be a shining gem of planning throughout the country.
All right, I appreciate you coming today. Obviously, there's a lot of issues wrapped up together here. If we don't already have your contact info in my office, would you give it to the fellow with the dark glasses on there, dark frames, Dana Haynes, or Rachel, the young woman that just walked in the green, so that we know how to get a hold of you and follow up with you, because we obviously have to move on to other business this morning, but you've obviously done a good job of alerting everyone to this issue.
We're not opposed to development. We love Mount Tabor. We love Southeast Portland, and we want the opportunity to share it with our children, to bring our children into this neighborhood, to let them grow up, let more children come into this neighborhood, bring in people of color into our neighborhood, diversify our neighborhood, and make sure it's safe and happy and healthy. These developments, they increase density, but they do not increase livability. They are the foundation of a slum. We need to get the community involved and build something that will make this a golden opportunity at the base of Mount Tabor where the dragon can rise.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time, Council.
Thank you, Council.